Welcome to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. Holly is a wife, mom, coach, and entrepreneur. She wears these and many more hats while running three successful businesses, a gym, online counseling and nutrition program, and commercial cleaning company. She brings a unique perspective to everyday life with her spicy, no-nonsense attitude. Holly helps her clients keep it simple with small tweaks that over time add up to big life changes. With that, let's get on with today's episode. Here's my friend, Holly Cochran, an incredible human you need to be listening to every Monday.
Hello, welcome to the Monday Matters podcast, family, friends, and strangers. I am going to record an episode today in answer or response to questions that I'm getting a lot when I am talking nutrition with people and I am asking them to start making small changes, little changes in the way they go about doing their grocery shopping and supplying the food for the family. And it is about the food label. People ask me a lot, how do I know if it's healthy? Like, what am I looking for on a food label? And I get that. Like, I know I learned how to read a food label in high school. I remember doing it. But do you do it after that? Not really. And then when you start doing it, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm reading this food label, but I don't really know what I'm looking for. What makes this can better than that can? Etc., etc. So I get asked the questions all the time about food labels, and I thought I would do an episode today just talking a little bit about some of the key things that you are looking for when you start reading labels and trying to make those small changes and better choices when you are shopping at the grocery store. So the first thing that I remember learning is that if it has more than 5 ingredients, it is far too processed to be considered actual food. Does that mean I only ever buy things with 5 ingredients or less? No, it doesn't. But does it mean if I turn the package over to read the label and I'm reading the ingredients list and it has got 35 ingredients on them, most of them I can't read, I don't know what those words mean, then I know this is not food. This is not really serving me. Does it mean I'm going to not buy it? Nope. It might mean I buy it anyway because I'm allowed a few things in my world that are not serving me all the time because most of my food will be, but I'm making, you know, informed choices, which is all this is for. It's just for information. So when you look at the back of the label, the very first thing you need to do is look at what they're considering a serving size. Okay. So you're going to see serving size, and that's, let's say, 100 grams. They're considering a serving size, 100 grams. And then you look and see how much is in the package. So if the package says that it has 400 grams in it, if you eat the whole package, you're getting 4 times the serving size that they are considering when they're breaking it down into the macronutrients and calories. Okay. I'm going to use real easy numbers because if you know me at all, math is not my strong suit. So let's keep it easy. If a serving size is 100 and the calories are 200 calories per serving size. Okay. If you eat the whole bag, you're eating 800 calories by eating that bag. Okay. So let's say you go to the gas station and you're going to buy a small bag of chips, or Cheesies or something like that. Flip over the back, read the serving size, and make sure the serving size matches the size of the bag. So if a serving size is 340 grams for the Cheesies and the bag of Cheesies is 340 grams, then you know when you eat the Cheesies, you are getting all the calories that are listed on the back. But if you buy the bigger bag of Cheesies, like theoretically the family size bag of Cheesies, and it says a serving size is 340 grams, and you eat the whole bag, you're getting way more calories than what the back of the package says. This seems like it would be super easy, but lots of times people think when they flip over the back and they see 300 calories, they think if I eat this, I'll eat 300 calories worth. But that's not how that label is working necessarily. It could very easily be, if I eat this, I'm eating three times what the calories are. And so now you're eating 900 calories, not 300. Okay. So you want to look, the very first thing is, what are they considering a serving size, and how much is in this entire package? Okay. And they do it different. Like you can buy, say, ice cream, and you're trying to compare which one of these ice creams have the most sugar in them. But this one is putting like 12 grams of sugar, but the serving size is 3/4 of a cup. And this one over here has 12 grams of sugar, but the serving size is 1/4 of a cup. Well, there's way more sugar in that, because if you ate 3/4 of that second one, now you have 36 grams of sugar compared to 12. Okay. So yes, there's math involved in reading the labels, which is part of the struggle for me when I'm making the comparison and I'm doing a lot of rounding up, but serving size is important. You want to look at that and see, okay, what are they considering to be a serving size? Then the next thing that they have on there is, for that size of a serving, there's the total calories. So that information is about the energy that you're getting from the food. Energy meaning your macronutrients, proteins, carbs, and fats. Those are not all the same. We're going to talk about all of that. But total calories means all the macronutrients combined together will give you energy. How much energy will be in the calories? Okay. Then you're going to look for nutrients. Sometimes there's nutrients labeled on them, not always, and not all the nutrients. Okay. Fat. Let's talk about that macro. The three macronutrients, if you didn't know, were protein, carbs, and fats. We're going to start with the fats. This is the total content of fats. All kinds of fats usually is in the top. Sometimes it's in grams. Sometimes it's a percentage. And then sometimes they break it down, meaning the trans fats broken down, the saturated fats, the unsaturated fats, and you want to aim for lower amounts of saturated fat and trans fat and choose healthier foods with unsaturated fats. And I found that to be confusing at first. I'm like, something that seems like it's the negative, like unsaturated seems like it would be the negative one, but really, no, that's the healthy one. You want that, the saturated. And I started thinking about, you know, do I want to be saturated and oozing with fat? That's how I made the connection between which word was the good word and which was the bad word. No, I want to be unsaturated. That's the healthy word. So I don't know if anyone else ever found that confusing and needed a little bit of a visual, but that was mine for me. So you're looking, and we'll talk a little bit more about fats as to which ones you're wanting, how to go about finding the healthy ones. Mono and polyunsaturated fat are your healthy fats. So those are things like avocados and olive oil and seeds. The trans fats are your not good ones, like your vegetable oils, canola oils, that kind of stuff. Omega-3s and omega-6s, those are also considered to be your fats. They're not produced by your body. We have to give them to our body, but we need to give them to our body. They come in forms like fish, salmon, flaxseed, chia seed, walnuts. Omega-6s are in nuts and seeds. So those are the foods that we want to include them. We shouldn't be afraid of them. We went through a whole phase back in the 90s where everything had to be super low in fat. Well, only the bad fat, and we didn't know the difference very well. So now we're looking for fat in a healthy way, but just know that fat is also calorie dense. Dense meaning it's higher in calories. So in your hand, if you put avocado in the palm of your hand, and you put chicken breast in the palm of your hand, which is a protein, they might look like they're the same size. Size does not equal calories. you can eat more protein as far as size goes than you can eat of the healthy fats and have fewer calories. Okay? So they're not created equal. Fats and proteins and carbohydrates are not created equal as far as size goes. So in that situation, size matters. Carbohydrates. You want to look at the total carbohydrates on the label, but you also want to look at the breakdown of carbohydrates if it has that on the label, because not all carbohydrates are created equal. So sugar, added sugar, and natural occurring sugars, those are considered carbohydrates. Those are carbohydrates and they're on the label as carbs, but so is our fiber and our starches. Okay. We need fiber in our diet. And sometimes we get so consumed by making sure we're getting enough protein, all of a sudden we're not getting enough fiber. And fiber is important for our digestion, overall health, circulation. So when you see the amount of carbohydrates on there, if it breaks it down, take a look and see of that total of carbohydrates, which ones are the carbs we need, like fiber, and which ones are the carbs we don't need, like sugars and added sugars. Okay. Let me just flip this over 1 second. The dietary fiber, it might say that under there, underneath the carbs. That is the carb that helps to manage our blood sugar. So we want to aim for foods that are higher in dietary fiber than they are in sugar. Okay. And then sugars, when we're talking about them, they try to trick you to think that there's not a lot of sugar in things by calling them different things. They don't say, this is packed full of white sugar. They'll add words like fructose and sucrose. Anything that ends in an OSE on the back of the pack is sugar. And sometimes you'll read some of the sweet things and they'll have three or four words that end in OSE. Plus they'll have corn syrup and honey. Those are all forms of sugar, the kind of sugar that spikes your blood sugar levels, your glucose levels, okay? Sugar alcohols can also be included in there. Xylitol, erythritol, they don't impact our blood sugars necessarily the same way as other sugars do, but they impact our cravings very similar. So they're also not necessarily the best choice. If you find things that have a lot of those sugar alcohols, you want to avoid them as well. Not all carbs are created equal. I know I said that already, but I just want to bring that home. Not all carbs are created equal. The sugar carbs, sugar alcohol carbs, all of those ones are not as good for you as fiber. Fiber is a carb and it is good for you. So things that have fiber, things that are rich in fiber are our fruits and vegetables. So berries, apples and pears with the skins on them, avocados, bananas, oranges, Brussels sprouts and broccoli, carrots and spinach, sweet potato, peas. Those are high in fiber. Any of the lentils, chickpeas, beans, those are all high in fiber. Okay. It is recommended that women get 25 grams of fiber a day. And you only really kind of know that when you are putting your food into an app like MyFitnessPal, and it'll tell you at the end of the day of all the things you added into FitnessPal, how much fiber you were getting from each of these things. But I have looked in diaries before, people working really hard to try to get their protein level up, and they're feeling full and satiated and they think they're doing an awesome job with that protein. And then we look at their fiber and, you know, maybe 10 or 12 grams of fiber throughout the whole day because they're so focused on getting enough protein in, they're not getting enough fiber. And we need that fiber. We need that fiber for digestion. That's how that protein is going to be able to be moved through the system and utilized and actually building muscle, is if it's moving. And the thing that makes it move is the fiber. At no point should you all of a sudden go and say, oh, I think I probably only have about 10 grams of fiber in a day, so tomorrow I'm going to hit that target of 25 grams. You will just become constipated. Yes, fiber is what helps move things through and can help people not be constipated, but not if you just all of a sudden jump in and have 25 grams tomorrow, okay? If that's not what your body's used to digesting. So there's a little bit about the carbohydrates and the breakdown on the back of the box that talks about carbohydrates and fiber and dietary fiber and all that kind of stuff. You want to look for something that is higher in fiber and lower in sugars. And before we move on from the sugars, one of the other things I like people to know is that 4 grams of sugar is one of those squares of sugar from the little packet that's in the box that's on the table at the church. Okay. So if you pick up, let's say it's a chocolate bar and you flip that chocolate bar over and at the back of the chocolate bar, it's got 24 grams of sugar in it. Okay. That means you're getting like 7 of those cubes when you eat that chocolate bar. So if you wouldn't go to the church basement and just take 7 cubes out of the box and pop them in your mouth while you're driving home after work, if you think that's not a behavior you're going to engage in, then know that when you eat that chocolate bar on your way home after work, that's exactly what you did. Okay. Each 4 grams of sugar is one of those cubes. So that always sucks the joy out of the sweet treats that I enjoy and love and how much of them I'm going to have, because I'm real particular about how many of those sugar cubes I'm going to just pop into my mouth. I know that's not serving me. So if I don't want to do that with a sugar cube, I got to be really mindful of what I'm doing it with when I scoop out the ice cream or when I want just a little bite of something sweet. It needs to be a little bite of something sweet or it's going to end up being 7 of those cubes. Okay, so that's our carbohydrates. Now, protein. You want to have foods that are a higher source of protein when you're looking at the back of a label. If it has no protein in it, know that it's a straight up carb and you shouldn't consider that to be your meal. You need to have protein at all of the meals. Let me just flip my paper back over here. Here we go. When you are thinking about your daily intake for protein, especially if you're active, if you are exercising, if you're trying to lift weights and build muscle, if you are getting older and your muscle mass is starting to decrease, and by older, I mean 30. Anything after 30 is considered to be getting older and your muscle mass is decreasing. If that's the case, you need to really make sure you're getting enough protein in every day. What is enough? The general guidelines is somewhere around 0.6 grams to 1 gram per pound of your body weight. Okay. So for example, if you weigh 150 pounds, you want to have about 150 grams of protein in a day. If you think about or start, I get people to do like easy tracking where just track your protein. Don't put all the other things in. I don't want to know about the mini eggs and all that other stuff right now. Let's just see where you're at with your protein, because it's the macronutrient that makes the biggest difference. So scan the boxes and the foods that you're eating and put the chicken breast in and let's see how many grams of protein you're getting in a day. And I have people that weigh 180 pounds and they're getting 40 grams of protein in a day. So it's beautiful because it's an easy starting point. We don't have to like totally change everything that's going on and reduce and, you know, eliminate this, that, and the other thing. You just have to start increasing and being mindful of how you're going to get more protein in. So start reading the labels and seeing which food you're eating is getting you your protein. If you're not reading your labels, you might be having a negative sort of feeling. Like I have one lady that feels guilty every time she has a piece of toast because she knows she's not supposed to have that many carbs. Except the toast, the bread that she's choosing is a really nice whole grain bread that gives her 12 grams of protein for every 2 slices. So, and it's not even that high of calories. She's choosing a really nice bread. And if she eats that bread with her eggs in the morning, she's getting 30 grams of protein at breakfast, which is what I told her to do. And yet she's feeling bad about it because she's having these carbs. But read the label. Understand these, air quotes, carbs are being made with enough protein in them that they're a higher source for you at that breakfast, and they're actually going to make you feel full longer than if you chose a bread that had, say, 3 grams of protein and it was primarily a higher carb item. Okay. So that's where those reading the labels can start to help you to make those choices that make sense to you. I want to have eggs and toast in the morning. Which kind of toast should I choose? Start reading the back and start understanding, for this serving, how many calories am I getting? How many carbohydrate grams am I getting? And how many protein grams am I getting? And does it make sense for me to fit that into my day? Okay. I talked about protein. The ingredient list on the back is usually located near the bottom of the label, and ingredients are listed in descending order by weight. So the first word you read on the back of the list is the most ingredient in the product. Okay. So when you flip over applesauce and the first word you read is sugar, that's not a good applesauce. If that whole container of applesauce, if you were to break that down per serving, and when you start eating it, the thing you're eating the most is sugar, pick a different applesauce. Okay. You don't want an applesauce where the first ingredient is the added sugar to it. What was the other thing in here? Oh, and sometimes food labels will also then add may contain or does contain with the allergens. So if that's important to you, if you're trying to find things that are gluten-free, if you're trying to find things that are dairy-free, if you're trying to find things that are without soy, they'll sometimes put all of that stuff on the bottom of the label that is the allergen label. So if that's important to you, then you can find that usually. Now there's some deceiving words, and I find this always so interesting to know, like, marketing is such a huge part of the food industry, and they're really trying to dupe us. Like, they are not trying to make this easy for us to understand. So food labels are lies in so many ways. You really need to understand what there's no regulation to most of it. So you can read something that says natural or all natural, and it does not necessarily mean that it is healthier. It doesn't mean it's free from additives. It's a very inconsistent definition. They can put that on anything they want. There is no rules around whether or not they can write the word all natural on a product. Okay. So low fat, fat free. These terms indicate lower fat content, but in compared to what? Okay. It's important to check the overall nutritional profile. So low fat can often include a lot of ingredients that we should only be, we shouldn't be consuming. Like, there may not even be food. So be very careful of low fat. And like I said, low fat compared to what? Their really, really, really high fat alternative does not make it low fat. It just means the other one is so crazy high in fat that they can reduce it a little bit, call it low fat, but it is not low fat. And they can write that on anything. Sugar-free and no added sugar. These terms can be deceiving because a product label as sugar-free may still contain natural sugars or artificial sweeteners. Okay. So maybe it's sugar-free, but it's still got a sweetener in it. And that sweetener may have the potential to increase your cravings, spike your blood sugar, do all of the things that the regular sugars do. So they can say sugar-free, but that doesn't necessarily mean sweetener-free. Multigrain does not necessarily mean whole grain. And that's one of the things that we are looking for when you're looking for, like, products that include wheat, or any of the other grains. You are trying to find a whole grain where it's not been processed and broke down and sort of deconstructed. So multigrain does not mean whole wheat. Okay. It just means that there's different kinds of grains, but they could all be really processed, broke down grains, not in their whole state like we're looking for. Okay. They could be refined. So look for whole grain. That's the word you're looking for, not multi and not wheat. And this was a fun one that I found too. The word light, you know, like light, they can actually put that on if the color is light versus dark. So it has nothing to do with calories and less calories or anything like that. It just might be that it's a lighter color. So they get to write that on the package. So don't be deceived by the word light. Organic. We're always looking for organic food, but it also can be really deceiving. So while organic labeling indicates that the food has been produced without certain synthetic pesticides and fertilizer, it does not automatically mean the product is healthier or more nutritious. Organic products can still contain high levels of sugar, unhealthy fats, or excessive calories. And the list of synthetic pesticides and fertilizers is not all inclusive, so they still might be able to be putting something on your organic product that could be a toxin to the body. So it's not as regulated as I had once thought it was. It doesn't mean I still gravitate towards organic fruits and vegetables and meats. Yes, I still do. Do I gravitate to the ones that I'm going to put directly in my mouth, like the apples and the berries? Yes, I do. Is it killing me right now in Saskatchewan to be buying organic fruits and vegetables because of the prices? Well, yes, although some of them are not even more expensive than the regular fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables, period, are killing me. But it was interesting for me to understand the word organic and how actually non-regulated that word can be when it comes to our packaging and the choices that we're making. We still need to be really sort of understanding where our food is coming from. Let me just one more second as I keep myself trying to keep myself organized. Okay. So when you are looking at that label, you want to go back to serving size, calories, the macro breakdowns, look for the unsaturated fats and make sure that the saturated fats are not higher than the unsaturated. Break down the sugars, understand what kind of sugar it is you're having. Doesn't matter what kind of sugar you're having, 4 grams of sugar equals one of those squares from the box. So do the math and figure out how many of those squares you're comfortable eating when you're eating a food. More than 5 ingredients makes it more than a food into a now a processed food. We are trying to pick things that are food. That's what we should eat. We should eat food. So if it has more than 5 ingredients, it becomes something less than a food and more processed. So I had somebody one day say that, you know, they're trying to really reduce the amount of processed foods that they're having. And so when they're, you know, when they're eating a sandwich, they're making sure that they're having like real turkey, real chicken, egg salad, that kind of stuff, trying to eliminate the processed food that they're eating. And I said, well, are you having bread? And they said, well, yes, I always have bread with that. And I thought, they don't really understand that bread is a processed food. Not that bread is a terrible thing, but just know that if you can't go out into the world and grab it, hunt it, pick it from the garden, then it's processed. So when you say, I'm trying to limit my processed food, it's okay to include bread in there. It's okay to include crackers in there. It's okay to include any kind of package that you've had to open that hasn't come directly from one of the outside aisles of the and has a few ingredients in it. Those are processed foods. We don't have to eliminate them, but we're trying to always make the changes to add real food to our diet on the daily. How do you keep adding real food in so there's less opportunity for the processed foods in your, because you're full. The whole foods will make you feel full and satiated longer. I hope that I've helped you to understand the labels. Check the back, check your serving size, know how many sugars you're wanting to have, figure out how much protein. I'll say it again, 0.8 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. That's sort of the long-term goal. Don't start with that today. If you're nowhere near that, build it up. 1 week at a time, add a few more grams of protein to your life. Digest that. Change what breakfast. I try to get people to 90 grams of protein per day, splitting that into three meals of 30 grams at breakfast, 30 grams at lunch, and 30 grams at supper. That's just a really rough sort of starting point, but it gives you somewhere to think about when you are at the store and you're trying to buy things that you're going to have for breakfast, lunch, and supper, and you know that you're trying to get to those 30 grams when you are eating breakfast, lunch, and supper, which items will you pick? So there's reading a label. If you need more help, if you want to send me a screenshot of a label and tell me, does this look good? Like, what am I looking for? Break it down. Feel free to do that. I think that if we started making really informed decisions every time we are grocery shopping and bringing the things into our house that seem to be serving us best, then it's much easier to make those decisions throughout the week. I know I've haunted many of you in the past with, if you buy it, you or someone you love is going to eat it. And now you can go next level so that when you're buying it, if you read the label and it's something that makes you proud, then you or someone you love is going to eat it. Have a fantastic day, everybody, and make sure you are starting to read your labels.
Thanks for listening to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Monday Matters, leave her a review, and share this episode on your social media. Should you have any questions about what you listen to or want more info, reach out and send her a message at K2 Health with Holly on Instagram and Facebook. She loves hearing from her listeners. See you next time.